Is it on? Awesome. Okay, the title of my sermon, I probably won't get to. I'm trying very hard to get to that. But again, as I was preparing, the Lord laid some basic principles, I think, that God wants to establish in our heart before we get to the overcoming part. And where I'm heading is, and you've probably picked it up for a while, especially if you've been here over the holidays, is found in Revelation chapter 12, and more specifically here in verse 11, where it says, "And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word, by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death." And this is where we're heading towards, the fact that God has overcome evil, has overcome Satan through the cross, but yet he has given us the privilege to actually partake in this great victory. And it's a victory that has been postponed so that we, the children of God, can overcome with him. And there are three things that will lead us to this final and great victory. And this is where we're heading towards. And it's quite powerful in the context of Revelations. We spoke about this cosmic battle between good and evil. On the one hand, we have God Almighty, Eternal, the Creator who always was and always will be. God who is holy and have no darkness in Him at all. God who is love and all His ways are perfect. This is the good. This God, this is Eternal, all-powerful, all-knowing, loving, holy God that existed always and will always be. And then on the other side, we see Lucifer, also known as Satan, the devil. He was created perfect. And immediately you can see the difference. God always was. Lucifer that was created. He was created perfect, an archangel, in other words, an angel with greater authority and splendor than the rest of the heavenly hosts. He was created to be the chief worship leader. He was created to be magnificent in his ability to actually usher in the heavenly host into worship to God. This is who Lucifer was created to be, magnificently in all his splendor, but pride grew in his heart. Not just in his own splendor, but also that he deserved praise in himself. It's not just that pride grew in his heart because of his own splendor, but because he wanted the praise, he wanted worship, and that pride continually grew in his heart. That pride grew to the point where he actually wanted to be worshipped like God. And in the meantime, as this pride grew in his heart, God created man. And you must see this conflict within Lucifer's heart, where he grew prideful about his own beauty and splendor, and the fact that he felt that he deserved praise also. And then God created man. And he created man in his image and likeness. And then God gave man dominion. And that was the final straw. Satan, who wanted the worship, who wanted the praise, who wanted the glory, who wanted to be like God, God then created man in his image and likeness and gave man dominion. And that flipped Lucifer. And he rebelled against God, tried to overthrow God, but we know he failed. And he was cast down to the earth. And being defeated, Satan started his campaign against man, the image and likeness of God on the earth. We have this battle in heaven where Lucifer tries to overcome God and fails, cast down to the earth. And then he started this campaign against the image of God that is on the earth, which is man. Man actually forfeited his dominion to Satan through disobedience to God's word by accepting Satan's word. And I think we spoke about that also. man's dominion that God gave him was forfeited to Satan because man decided to disobey the word of God and to accept the word of Satan. And therefore, Satan became the ruler of the earth. The image of God was distorted. The likeness of God was destroyed on the earth. And sin spread all over the world. And this entire world that was under the dominion of man, that was distorted, its image and likeness, then came under a curse. And we know that sin, the image of Satan, has been spreading throughout the world. And we live in a world that is fallen. It is fallen because it was corrupted from his original intent. And what the image and likeness of God was meant to be spread, to be multiplied within the earth, what happened is what's the image of Satan, sinfulness, the selfish nature, was spread throughout the world. And in the midst of it all, and this is the amazing thing, despite the fact that Satan became the ruler of the earth, despite the fact that everything in this earth came under the curse, despite the fact that sin and the image of Satan spread throughout the world through man, God still loves man. Despite all of that, God still loves man. And it is so amazing that despite our sinfulness, despite the fact that the image and the likeness of God was corrupted within us, God still loved us so much that He was willing to give His Son, despite our sinfulness. And that's the amazing thing about God. While we were still sinners, God sent His Son to redeem humanity. And we read of that in Romans chapter 5. But God demonstrated His own love towards us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And this is the amazing thing about the love of God that endures. God loves you not for who you are or for who you were, but for who you are meant to be. And I think this is so important to understand about God. God does not love you for who you were. God doesn't love you for that. He loves you for who you're meant to be. Despite your sinfulness, despite your failing, despite your shortcoming, God loves you for who you're meant to be. So God was willing to give His Son to redeem us into that what we were originally created to be. God loves you and me for what we were created to be in the image of God. And so God sent His Son to become sin for us. The very thing that distorted the very image and the likeness within us, God sent His Son to become sin so that we can become like Christ. And that's the amazing thing about the gospel, is that God came to deal with the very thing that distorted the image, that destroyed the likeness of God. He sent His Son to become that very thing so that we can become like Christ, and that the image of God can be restored in you and me. But I think the first thing that you must remember is that God loves you not for who you are or what you are doing, but for who you are meant to be. And He gave His Son so that you can be restored into that what God originally intended you to be. That is so important, because so many people are trying to earn God's love. But God doesn't love that way. He loves you for who you're meant to be, for who you were originally created to be. We read that in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 21. It says, so powerful, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in Him. Isn't that amazing? Now this is important to understand, so that the image and the likeness of God is restored in us through Christ in us. Now I don't know if you've ever read that before. The fact that it is no longer I that live, but Christ in me. And that in Christ we have obtained reconciliation, restoration, sanctification. We have been made holy, and the image of God is being restored in us. And I love that about God. The image and the likeness of God is restored in us through Christ in us, and God loves that. God loves that. God loves to see how the image of Himself is being restored in us through Christ in us. And Satan hates that. He hates that with a passion. And this is one of the amazing attributes of God,
is his love for us. And a while ago, I shared in Bible school the attributes of God. And one of these things, I was just reminded of this again, is the powerful attribute of God, the fact that he's self-sufficient. The fact that God is self-sufficient. In other words, God is in himself in all, and of himself everything that he needs to exist. God is absolutely self-sufficient. So God does not need anything. Within himself and of himself, he has everything that he needs to exist. God doesn't need anything. He's completely self-sufficient. He has intrinsic power. He doesn't need anything. Nobody has to give him power. And he's definitely not looking for help out there to do whatever he desires to do. He is God, Almighty, self-sufficient. God did not create us because he needed us. And this is another thing to understand about this love of God. God did not create us because he needed anything from us, or that we need to do anything for him. That's not the purpose of our creation. God did not create us to worship him in the sense that he needed us to worship him. That's not why God created man. God didn't have a need for worship. Therefore, he created man to worship him. Now, he had the angels to do that. And even the angels were not created because God needed worship. God did not create us for relationship either, in the sense that he needed relationship. I mean, he has the Trinity. The Father loves the Son, and the Son loves the Father, and the Spirit loves the Father, and the Father loves the Spirit. Within the Trinity, in the mystery of the Trinity, there is fullness in relationship, in love. It's not that God created us because he needed relationship. Do you understand that? God didn't create us because he needs us to serve him either. It's not that God needs humanity to do anything for him. He is almighty, all-powerful. He didn't create us for worship. He didn't create us for relationship. He didn't create us for service. Not that those things are not necessary, but that's not primarily why we're created. We were not created because God needs anything. So the question is, why did he create us? If he doesn't need us, if he doesn't need anything, it's not that we shouldn't do these things, but that's not primarily why we're created. I mean, God doesn't need me in Hermanus. God doesn't need me. That's probably why he chose me. But God doesn't need me to preach. God doesn't need me to be here. God chose to use me. That's something completely different. But it's so important for me to understand that God doesn't need me. However, God loves me. And he chose me to be part of his life, of his kingdom. And that is another thing that is so awesome, because it's like, you know what, when you were in primary school and there was a soccer game during PT, and there was two captains chosen, you remember? And you were not the captain chosen? You were not the captain. And now you have these two captains, and what do? They have to choose a team. Who of you have been chosen first? That's always nice, isn't it? Who of you have been chosen last? That's never nice, is it? The amazing thing about being chosen, and especially if you're in the first five of the 15, it makes you feel special, doesn't it? It makes you feel appreciated. It makes you feel loved. God didn't choose you and me because he needed us. He chose you and me because he loved us, but not because he needs us. God doesn't need me, but he chose me. And that's amazing. That brings us to this question. So why did he create us? Why did he create me? Brings us to the to the next attribute of God, which is so powerful to understand, and I've mentioned it before, the fact that God is love. God is love. In the same way that God is holy and there's no darkness within Him, God is also love. And as I mentioned, He's completely fulfilled within the Trinity. God loves eternally. God has always loved and He's always been fulfilled in love in this relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. There's absolute fullness. But the amazing thing about love is it always wants to pour, it wants to, and actually wants to give to the other. That is something powerful about love. Love is this capacity, this drive within itself that it always wants to bestow on the other. It's not that I want to get from the other. It's I want to give to the other. And that's the powerful thing about love. Love has this drive within itself that I want to give to the other. I want to bless the other. I want to pour on the other. And so God, who is love, created man for this very purpose. This is the bottom line. God created humanity to love Him. To love humanity. That's the purpose of creation. To love. To bestow on the other. And yes, love is, what is that word, me and my wife? Reciprocal, thank you. That is the good word. It is reciprocal, yes. Love is meant to be responded to. So yes, in the way that God created us, He created us with the capacity that we can respond to this love in worship, in service, in giving, in relationship. But you must understand this about God. You must understand it about your identity, because this is the very thing that Satan would want to attack, is you must understand God created each and every one of us to love us. And that's why, despite the fact that we were sinners, despite the fact that we were enemies, despite the fact that the likeness in us was distorted and the image of God was distorted within it, despite all of that, God continued to love us. He continues to love us. Despite what is happening in this world and evil and the image of Satan that is spreading within the world, and we see sickness and death and rape and fraud and murder and disease and all the things that has happened, despite it all, God still loves humanity. I mean, that's so powerful about John 3:16. For God so loved the world, despite our sinfulness. That is why God's love is unconditional. It's unconditional in the sense that He doesn't need anything from us. He does not love us because He needs something from us. If God needed something from us, if He loved us because He needed something from us, His love would have been conditional. But because God doesn't need anything, His love is absolute. Unconditional, because He's not needing anything from us. And yes, this love is meant to be responded to. And therefore, I love God back, and therefore we worship Him, and therefore we serve Him. But God loves the whole world. God loves the whole world. God loves humanity, not for who they are, but for who they're meant to be. And even though God loves the whole world, not the whole world is saved. Have you noticed that? Some people misunderstand this unconditional love. Even though God loves unconditionally, even though He loves because He doesn't need anything, the whole world is not saved. It's only those who respond to this love that is saved. So God's love is not unconditional in the sense that everyone is saved. No, God loves the whole world, but only those who respond to His love is saved. I mean, does that not make His love conditional? No. That does not make His love conditional. God loves indiscriminately. He loves all of humanity. That is what grace is. But the transformation, the restoration of His image in us, the salvation from our sin, comes only when we respond to this love. That's the amazing thing about this love. So how are we meant to respond?
Well, we respond through faith in Him and His Son. That is how we respond to this love of this God that loves unconditionally, indiscriminately, loves what He has created continually, despite our sinfulness, despite our rebellion. He loves us, but those who respond in love, those who respond in faith in Him and His Son, the demonstration of His love. In other words, you know, God demonstrated His love for us by sending His Son, and those who have faith in that demonstration of love, the faith in His Son, receives the blessing of this love. That is John 3:16 that we know so well. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it's through biblical faith, not mental assent. It is not just, I believe God exists, even the devil does that. But through a relationship with Him, a relationship of faith and surrender, allowing God into our lives, saying, God, I surrender my life to You. God, I want You to be God in my life. I want You to be King. I want to follow You, is what gives us life. When we follow Him as King, where His Holy Spirit is welcomed into our life to restore the very image of God in us. And the likeness of God in us, that is the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the goodness, the kindness, the gentleness, the self-control. You see how God restores the very image and the likeness of God within us. That is the purpose of His love. That is the power of godliness. That is what is so amazing about grace. We cannot earn His love. We do not deserve His love. He first loved us, and then we responded to His love. That changed everything. He first loved us unconditionally. Now we only need to respond. And that is 1 John 4 verse 19 so powerfully. We love Him because He first loved us. We respond to His love. You and I were originally created in the image and likeness of God. You and I were created to be loved. And even though sin messed that up, God did not stop loving us. And through our daily responding to His love, we are continually being transformed more and more into the image of Christ. And it is that image of God on the earth that is meant, that is destined to overcome the image of sin in this world. So before we come to this cosmic battle between good and evil, and where we overcome him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony, and the fact that we do not love our lives unto death. Before we get to this, we must understand what this battle is all about. This is about the image and the likeness of God. And God in His wisdom, when He sent His Son to redeem us, to transform us back to the original state, He also dealt with the enemy, but He left him alive. He left him alive. You know what Scripture says? That He disarmed him, made him a public spectacle, that He overcame sin and death. And then the very thing that Satan came to destroy, the dominion that he stole, he says, you know what? I'm going to give it back to them. And I'm going to sit back and let them destroy you. The very thing that you used, that you wanted to use to destroy them, I'm going to restore in them the likeness of me, the image of me. And then I'm going to empower them, and they're going to overcome you. The image and the likeness of God is going to overcome the image and likeness of Satan. It's going to come. That's the exciting thing. Now, my wife said I must preach shorter, so I'm going to stop here. I'm not going to go on. I want to go on to this great and final battle, and I want to go on to these things that ultimately is going to give us the victory. But I want to stop with this because you need to understand this about God and His love for you. That He loves you for who you are meant to be. He looks at you and I and he sees what he's created within us and he loves that. And he's given his son. He's given everything that we need for life and godliness so that we can be transformed again into the very image of him. And I want to declare this. I want to declare this. There are some people here, they are trying to earn God's love. We humanity, you know, that's what religion did. Religion warped, you know, the devil is so clever. He warped this around that we need to earn God's love. We need to perform to get God's love. God loves you irrespective of your sinfulness. All you need to do is respond to that. Yes, that response leads to godliness, leads to holiness, leads to the fact that we love God in the way, in his love language, which is obedience. But we are not obeying to earn love. We are obeying in response of love. So I want to declare this morning, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you have done. God loves you. And the only thing that you need to do is respond to that love. And yes, that's going to require faith. Yes, that's going to require worship. Yes, that's going to require service and all those things. But you're not earning that love from him. You're simply responding to that love of him. You're simply allowing the Holy Spirit to come into your life and say, God, I want you to change me. I want to become more like you. It's almost like John that said, listen, I must become less so that he can become more. It's when Paul says, it's no longer I that live, but it's Christ in me, the hope of glory. When he says, come follow me as I follow Christ. The miracle of God's love. That love has a purpose. It is to redeem, restore, renew, reboot, start all over the very thing it was intended to. So you don't need to earn it. You must respond to it. And in responding to it, you will have the life that it promises. So I want to close with that. Next week, we'll talk about Romans chapter 8 that speaks of, for the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. Because Revelation 12 says, and they will overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. This is the great story of God's destiny for humanity. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you that you've given us life. God, we want to thank you that you love us so much, not for who we are or for what we can give you, but for who you created us to be. God, we want to thank you that you loved us so much, God, that even though we were sinful and enemies and corrupted in our nature and our likeness, Lord, you still gave your Son to demonstrate how much you love us, that whosoever would respond, whosoever would believe, will be saved. And God, as we hear this morning, Father, I want to pray against religion. God, I want to pray against, Father, this lie that we need to earn your love. This thing, God, that we are never worthy, that we're never good enough for you, that we have to do more things to earn your love. God, I want to come against that and declare, Lord, that you love us. And when we do, and when we live, and when we pursue holiness and godliness and surrender and follow you, God, it's because we are responding to this love, not because we're trying to earn it. But we're responding, Lord. So I want to pray, Father, and I want to thank you for this love. I want to thank you, God, that you love us indiscriminately, unconditionally. But God, you're calling us to yourself. And Lord, I'm going to pray for each and every person, Lord, that are here this morning that do not feel worthy. Because there is something about the revelation of the sons of God. There is something about unveiling of the sons of God. There's something about taking away the shame, the fear, the curtain that's over us that is so many times shame and fear and feeling not worthy. This morning you're saying, Lord, you want to take it away. You want to unveil us. Lord, you want to unveil us to the world. Lord, so I come against, Lord, this fear of not being worthy. This feeling of not being worthy. And if you're here this morning and you've been struggling to earn God's love. You've been struggling with this, the sense of not being worthy, not being good enough. God, I believe, is just speaking to you this morning and saying, my son, my daughter, I love you. I love you for who you can be. I love you for the potential that is within you. I love you for the image that I've created within you and the likeness that can be restored within you. I love you. And I've given you my son. I've given you my spirit to restore these things within you. You must just come to me. Don't run from me, but come to me. So if that is you this morning and you have this feeling of not being worthy, you're struggling to earn yourself, and you just want to accept, you just want to receive the fullness of God's love, I just want you to respond where you're sitting just by raising your hand. Say, Father, I just want to experience this love, Lord, free from works, free from working, free from earning myself. If that is you, thank you for those hands. I just want you to respond just where you're at. You can just drop your hands as you do. Father, I want to pray for each and every heart here, Lord. I want to pray for each and every person, Father God. I want to also pray if you're trying to win God's favor by your works, God is telling you, stop. Don't try and earn it. I love you. Just respond in works. Don't earn it. Just respond in it. And then there's some people here this morning that you need to respond to love. You need to respond to love. You need to respond. God loves you. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter what you're struggling with. It doesn't matter what you cannot get free from. God loves you and He wants to set you free. He wants to lift you up. He wants to redeem you. He wants to give you the life that He promises. But you need to respond. You need to respond to this love. Don't look at yourself. Don't worry about yourself. Don't worry about your sinfulness and your weakness. Don't worry about those things. God does not concern Himself with that. He loves you, but you need to respond to Him. And if that is you this morning, I just want you to raise your hand and say, God, here I am. I want to respond to you. Thank you for those hands. I want to ask you to do something bold. If you've raised your hand now, I just want you to quickly come forward and we want to pray with you. Because God wants to seal something in your life. If you need to respond to this love of God, I want you to come forward. Let's give them a hand as they do so. Just come forward. God wants you to respond to His love, not run away from it. Just respond to it. And then there's some of us here this morning, like Mario said last week, God wants to use you. God wants to use you. Maybe you have a donkey. Maybe you have two fishes and two loaves. God wants to use you. But for some or other reason, and I can tell you what the reason is, it is a lie. You feel that your donkey is not good enough. Or your two fishes and five loaves are not good enough. God wants to use you. Not because He needs your donkey or He needs your two fishes and five loaves. But He wants to pick you on His side because He knows He's going to win. And He wants you to enjoy the victory with Him. And there's some people here, you are just so afraid. You just feel you are not worthy. You don't have enough. You're not good enough. God wants to use you. And if that is you, I want to pray with you also. So there's some of you that needs to respond to say, God, use me. The little that I've got, use you. And if that is you, I want you to also come forward to this side and I want to pray with you. So I want to give you an opportunity just to come forward. If you feel you're not worthy to be used by God, you know who you are. I don't know who you are. That's just what I believe God is laying on my heart. Please come forward and we want to pray with you. We want to release you. We want to release your two fishes and your five loaves. I always say, you know what's so amazing about that story? God didn't need two fishes and five loaves. As a matter of fact, he probably could have done it with one fish and one loaf. But yet he took all the little that the little boy had. He said, listen, you give everything to me. I will show you what I do with your little. And I know there's some people here that feel what they have is just too little. It's just too little, God. How can you use me? I want to pray with you. If that is you, come forward. We're going to minister to you. Is there anybody else who wants to come forward? Quickly, I'm going to give you an opportunity. I know there's somebody else here. Don't be shy. Don't be afraid. Just bring your donkeys. Bring your two fishes. It's not that it's not enough. It's more than enough. Father, let's close our eyes. Thank you, God, for giving us everything that we need. For life and godliness, that you've come to love us, to restore us. God, that you want to use us. Thank you, Father, that you have poured out your life to see us redeemed. And there's nothing more joyous, Lord, when you see us respond to your love. When you see that image, the potential, the purpose recreated in us. And God, I want to pray, Father, that as I dismiss this meeting and we continue to minister, Father, I pray for the rest of us, Father, that we will go into this world. Not just as mere humans and doctors and accountants and laborers and being retired and being at home, but we will go home as the image of God, the likeness of Christ. Lord, that we will live our lives in such a way that it will reflect you wherever we go. Father, I pray that we will go out in this world, Lord, with an expectation, Lord, to see you multiplied in this earth. God, that we will go into this harvest that you say is plentiful, God, and that we will invite people in. Father, I pray for next Sunday that again, Lord, there will be many visitors. Not because they saw the ad, but because they were invited. And because they saw the image of you in that person's eye when they were invited. And they were drawn to this. So God, I want to send us with this commission as you send us, go into the world. And make disciples wherever you go. Of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And teach them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And know, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.